We're continuing our study of the book of Amos, the prophet Amos. And today we are in chapter 7 and chapter 8. This is God's Word. The Lord showed me this. He was forming a swarm of locusts at the time the spring crop first began to sprout, after the cutting of the king's hay. When the locusts finished eating the vegetation of the land, I said, "Lord God, please forgive. How will Jacob survive since he is so small?" The Lord relented concerning this. "It will not happen," he said. The Lord showed me this. The Lord God was calling for a judgment by fire. It consumed the great deep and devoured the land. Then I said, "Lord God, please stop. How will Jacob survive since he is so small?" The Lord relented concerning this. "It will not happen either," said the Lord God. He showed me this. The Lord was standing there by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" I replied, "A plumb line." Then the Lord said, "I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will no longer spare them. Isaac's high places will be deserted and Israel's sanctuaries will be in ruins. I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with a sword." Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent word to King Jeroboam of Israel saying, "Amos has conspired against you right here in the house of Israel. The land cannot endure all his words. For Amos has said this, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will certainly go into exile from its homeland." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Go away, you seer. Flee to the land of Judah. Earn your living and give your prophecies there. But don't ever prophesy at Bethel again, for it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." So Amos answered Amaziah, "I was not a prophet or the son of a prophet. Rather, I was a herdsman and I took care of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel. Do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will be a prostitute in the city. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword, and your land will be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself will die on pagan soil, and Israel will certainly go into exile from its homeland." The Lord showed me this, a basket of summer fruit. He asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" I replied, "A basket of summer fruit." The Lord said to me, "The end has come for my people Israel. I will no longer spare them. In that day, the temple songs will become wailing." This is the Lord God's declaration. "Many dead bodies thrown everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and do away with the poor of the land, asking, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may market wheat? We can reduce the measure while increasing the price and cheat with dishonest scales. We can buy the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and even sell the chaff.' The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget all their deeds. Because of this, won't the land quake and all who dwell in it mourn? All of it will rise like the Nile. It will surge and then subside like the Nile in Egypt. And in that day, this is the declaration of the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon. I will darken the land in the daytime. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will cause everyone to wear sackcloth and every head to be shaved. I will make that grief like mourning for an only son at its outcome, like a bitter day. Look, the days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord God. When I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and roam from north to east seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the beautiful young women, the young men also, will faint from thirst. Those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, as your God lives, Dan, or as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall, never to rise again. May God bless this reading from His holy and inspired word. We've talked before about a medical diagnosis, the fact that when the diagnosis is grim, even some doctors who specialize in that field find it hard to tell their patients, find it hard to put into words, because it's just a difficult thing to say. And yet, the truth needs to be told. Amos was not looking to be a prophet. His career was in agriculture. And he says, I was just doing what I'd been doing. My dad wasn't a preacher. I wasn't a preacher. I was just out in the fields. I was looking after the sheep. I was husbanding the fig plants. And God gave me a message, told me to go proclaim it. And so it was a matter of obedience to leave his country, Judah, and go to the northern kingdom. And there proclaim a message that people didn't want to hear. They heard it, they were upset by it, but they didn't like it. And certainly the king didn't like it. And in the passage we read today, the priest at Bethel didn't like it. Bethel had been the place where God met with Jacob when he was fleeing from the wrath of his brother Esau. And God had manifested his presence there with a beautiful image in his mind of angels going up and down a staircase into the very holy presence of God. It was an image ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who provides the way into the Father's presence. And yet, in the midst of generations that followed, Bethel had become a place where people were very religious in disobedience to God. Because God had said he wanted everybody to come to Jerusalem to worship there. And God had said before they got Jerusalem, before they took possession of it, this is the place. It was the place where Abraham had been sent with his miracle son Isaac in order to offer him up as a sacrifice, because God was going to offer his son there at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. And so it's important to understand that this business about Bethel It had been a place of worship. But if you try to worship God with disobedience, you not only aren't earning any points, you are making God angry. And that's what was going on at Bethel. So, when the priest at Bethel says, "Get out of town. You're upsetting everybody." And when he appeals to the king and says, "This man is guilty of destroying the atmosphere here." He says the people cannot endure it. They cannot endure it. He was very serious and treated this as if this is just a man. You know what we have to understand about Scripture? This is not just the word of a man. This is the word of the Lord. It is God's word. There are a lot of people today in our country who don't like what God says. And so they want to dismiss it as the word of man. That's unacceptable. I can't believe that. I refuse to worship a God who would do such a thing. I mean, those are things that people say today in our culture. The idea is, if I don't like the Scriptures, I can just cut that out. Well, that was just Paul's opinion. There are a lot of folks today who are talking about being red-letter Christians. Okay? I just believe the stuff that's, you know, in red, because those are the things Jesus said. Well, you better read those red letters. Because one of the things in the red letters is that the Scriptures cannot be broken. One of the things in the red letters is that many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this?" And I will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness." That's what the red letters contain. Jesus talks more about hell than anybody else in Scripture. Paul didn't say nearly as much about it as Jesus did. So if you want to just believe the red letters, read them. Read them. And if you do what Jesus says, you will embrace all of Scripture. And you will know that this is not just the word of man. This is the word of God. That is very, very important to understand. Well, God spoke not only through the prophet, but to the prophet, and showed him images of the sort of things that could happen if God chose to pour out his wrath in that way. And let me tell you, it was not a pretty picture. The first one had to do with famine. If God sent locusts to destroy the vegetation, we can't get by without it. I am not, let the record show, a vegetarian. Okay? I'm not anti-vegetarian. I think that those people deserve our sympathy. But you know what? If you think, "Well, I could do without vegetation," you're a nutcase. What do you think the animals you enjoy eating eat? Okay? I would not want to eat a starving cow. It would not be good. It would not be tasty. God knows exactly what we can endure. And the fact is, when he saw what would happen if these locusts came, Amos says, "Please, Lord, please." And the Lord relented concerning this. "It will not happen," he said. The second vision that he gave him was that of fire. And the fire that was going to come would have absolutely devastated. Even the deep, that is the ocean, would be burned up. And again, the prophet says, "Please, please, Lord, how will Jacob survive? How will Israel stand?" You and I need to understand there is a fire like that coming. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. God did not do that at this time to these people. But that fire is still coming. 2 Peter 3 says that at the very end, the elements will melt with intense heat. It's all going to be burned up. The insides are going to be laid bare. It will be the destruction of created things. Read Hebrews chapter 13. You have the same message. Our God is a consuming fire. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. But this present heavens and present earth will be shaken and burned with fire. God has declared it. It is coming. But here God says, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to send this fire at this time. But what he will do is to establish a plumb line, to raise up a standard, to say, this is it. Now, the plumb line is God's word. Everything is judged by what God declares. And God says, that which is not in line with my word is going to be destroyed. Years ago, I had a gentleman building some shelves to put in my office. And the office had been built by some carpenters who were not employed again after that project. Some of you are familiar with Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Well, this was Tweedledum and Tweedledumber. I'm just telling you, they were not good carpenters. So, some of the things about my construction of that office were unfortunately, shall we say, out of square. Okay? The floor was not level, wall was not straight. I mean, it was just unfortunate. I had someone else who was generally a pretty good carpenter build some shelves for me to put in the office so that I could finally get my books out of boxes and put them on the shelves. And I went to look at his work after he sent me a message that it was all done and the shelves had been installed. I went in and the shelves were like this. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I'm exaggerating. They weren't like this. They were like this. Okay. I mean, I looked at it and I thought, my carpenter's had a stroke. I mean, how could he leave them like that? If you had put a book on the shelf, it would have fallen over. And if you put several books on the shelf, they would have slid to one end. I mean, it was unbelievable. I could not believe. I thought, is he being sarcastic? Did something go wrong? Does he have a brain tumor? What's going on? So I went out and I bought a brand new level. Because over the years, as we've done various projects here at the ranch, I have a habit of walking in and looking at things and saying, it's a little higher on this side than it is on that side. We need to fix that. And people look at me like, you're crazy. And I say, get a level, put it up there, and tell me if I'm right. And they get a level, and they put it up there, and I'm right. So, I mean, that's just something that God gave me, is the ability to see what's level and what's not. And it's amazing how many people do construction without ever checking using a level. They just rely, I'm just going to eyeball it. Well, you need some new eyeballs, okay? Because my eyeballs say that your eyeballs are wrong. Now go get a level, okay? And when you put a level on there, you can tell, okay? But I went and I bought a new level. I had a level. I didn't need a level. I didn't need a level. Anyway, I got a new level and I called my friend, good man, who had put in those shelves like this. And I said, I need you to come over here. And so he came. And I said, those shelves, how do you expect me to do that? He said, well, they were perfectly level in my shop. I said, I believe you. And he says, it's not my fault. It's because the floor's not level. And I said, I believe you. But the shelves were to go here, and you knew that. Fine for you to build them off-site. And he said, well, what do you want me to do, tear them all down? And I said, in this case, no. What you do is you add some height to the low side, okay? You put something underneath the low side that will raise that up until it is level. And I want you to use this level in order to see how much it needs to be. We got it fixed, okay? Well, God doesn't come along. That thing you put under there to raise something up is often called a shim. Okay? God is not going to shim this country. He's going to have the king killed and he's going to send the people into exile. The plumb line here shows that things are so crooked, so messed up, that the consequences are going to be deadly. Now, when the priest hears this, the priest says, get out of here. Go away, you seer. Flee to the land of Judah. Run. Get out of town. We don't want you here. We don't want to hear what you say God says. There are people in our culture today who are telling us, shut up. That's hate speech. Don't talk like that. You're a bigot. Guess what? Doesn't change God's word. And God gave a message to Amos for that priest. And the message says, your wife will become a prostitute in the city. Now that's pretty devastating. Your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be divided up with a measuring line. In other words, your land's going to get sold to others. And you yourself will die on pagan soil. You're going to be sent into exile and you're going to die there. And Israel will certainly go into exile from its homeland. Let me just tell you something. If you know that judgment is coming and you don't warn people, you're not being nice to them. You're being cruel. I actually spoke to a stranger in McDonald's years ago about the tumor that was growing on his neck. And I explained to him that the only reason I was so bold as to speak to a stranger about something that was unmistakable on this guy's neck is because I had a tumor in my neck that needed to be removed, and I wish I'd had it taken out sooner. Okay? He thanked me. Because a lot of people have a problem that is obvious, but they'd rather not deal with it right now. I know this is not good. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I drink too much. I know whatever, whatever, whatever. But I just don't want to deal with it. Well, God says, I'm establishing a plumb line. It's time to repent. It's time to repent. And so then, God talks about those who trample on the needy and do away with the poor of the land, asking, when will the new moon be over so we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so we may market wheat? The first thing in that is the fact that what God has intended as a gift, these Sabbaths and festivals, has become to these people a burden. Instead of enjoying the blessing of rest, they're resenting the fact that they can't make more money on that day. If you don't think that's typical of our culture today, you're not paying attention. And then, not only are they eager to get back to business, but they're figuring out how they can get more money by cheating others. We can reduce the measure while increasing the price. We can reduce what people get while raising the price. You cannot imagine what things were like when I was a kid. Okay? I know you get tired of hearing that from old people, but get used to it. You're going to be an old person someday. And here's the thing. Candy bars. That now, I can get two for a dollar each, and they'll throw in a third. And I think, oh, that's a bargain. Okay? When I was a kid, it was a nickel. It was 5 cents. Do you understand? 5 cents. I could have gotten 20 candy bars for a dollar. And now I'm excited when they mark one down to a dollar, because normally that's $1.79. Okay? But it's on sale right now for a dollar. Not only that, when I was a kid, the candy bar filled up the little package. Okay? It was great. I mean, you opened it up and it was candy from one end to the other. Now it's cardboard from one end to the other and stuck in there, covering about 85% of the surface, is a candy bar. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what happened to my candy bar? Did somebody shrink this thing? Yes. The manufacturer shrank it and raised the price. That's what they were doing here. We just call that standard business. God calls it greed. Okay? The reason the prices keep going up is not because we've got to provide for the poor. Okay? The poor are the ones buying the candy bars. By the way, I do not recommend candy bars. I'm just trying to use a relatable illustration. And I do sometimes buy candy bars. But I prefer the Hershey's brand because they have a children's home in Pennsylvania. And that makes me feel better about what I'm doing to my body. Oh, have mercy, Lord. But they say, we're going to reduce the measure while increasing the price. And we can cheat with dishonest scales. When I used to go to and from Florida so much, there was a place right by the border where you could get the best prices on gas. I was always sure to stop there because that was the place to fill up. And after I'd done so for years, it came out in the newspaper that the way they sold their gas so inexpensively was that they reset the scales. You weren't paying less per gallon. You were getting not a full gallon every time it said one, two, three. They were cheating all the customers. But man, they had plenty of customers. Well, aren't there government officials who come around and check that? Yes, there are. And they were on the payroll of the crook who owned the gas station. When it was eventually exposed by an employee who began to realize what they were doing, and that's why every time they had to keep resetting the pumps when the inspector was about to come so they wouldn't get caught. When the employee reported that, the first person he reported it to was the local authorities, and they were on the payroll. Ah! So they got rid of that employee. But that employee did not quit sounding the alarm. And eventually, the FBI got in. And they uncovered a vast plot involving a number of people and millions of dollars. I was very disappointed that that gas station was no longer selling what I thought was cheap gas. It's not new. People have been lying and cheating and trying to take advantage of folks all the way back through history. It's greed. It's mammon worship. And it is hated by God. We can buy the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. And we can even sell the chaff What does that mean? That means we're going to start mixing in worthless stuff of no nutritional value and calling it fiber. I'm sorry, I'm digressing. We're going to start selling trash to people and making them think it's the good stuff. It's not a new scam. It's been going on a long time. The Lord promises, He has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget all their deeds. God says, I see what's going on. People think they're getting away with something. They think it's a secret. But God says, I will judge. Look, the days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord God. When I will send a famine throughout the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Right now, at this point in Amos's ministry, people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. But God says the day is going to come when in the midst of disaster, people will say, okay, what does God say? And God says, it's like, well, we need to hear from God. We need the word of the Lord. Silence. While you have the opportunity, listen to what God says. While you have the opportunity, read His word, study His word, believe His word, obey His word. While you have the opportunity, there are people around the world starving for the Word of God, longing to have a Bible, even a portion of Scripture. We have been so blessed. While you have the opportunity, even when the Word of God says things you don't like, thank God for His Word and get in line with Scripture. Do not despise or neglect the word of the Lord, because it points you to Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. We can't clean up our act and save ourselves, but we can repent of our sins and trust in Him, and He will change us from the inside out. Our only hope is Jesus, and that is the message of the Old Testament and the New. Do not neglect His word. It is calling you to trust in Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, apart from You, we can do nothing. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Deliver us from evil. We ask that You would not only forgive us, but that You would change us from the inside out. And we will be careful to give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.